Escape from Cubicle 17, Episode 5. Hey guys, sorry for the long delay between episodes, and rather than wallow in lame excuses, I'll just get on with playing the interview. Well, when last I left you, I was going to attempt VenCon 4, which was way back in September. Well, I did, and I managed to snag a few interviews. This first interview with VenCon co-founder Tim Miller was recorded with my MP3 player, a Sansa Express. So the audio quality isn't as good as my fancy equipment, but it's still very listenable.
Welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17. This is Chris Merrill, your podcast host, and I'm recording live at FanCon. I have the con chair, right? Correct, Tim Miller.
Con chair this year.
And he has taken out some of his very busy time. I guess the idea of me trying to interview the people running the convention at the convention is not such a good idea, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me here on the third day of the convention.
Well, it's a great idea, but it's great ahead of time, but during the convention, you're always running around. There's something going on. Hopefully it's nothing major, but you've got to be someplace. You got to check on one room. You got to find one guest of honor. And finding time to just sit down where someone else has time to sit down can be difficult.
Well, I help out with another convention, Conestoga, which you're going to be our fan guest of honor next year.
Yes.
And maybe we'll try this again when you have more free time and you're a guest. And maybe we can talk a little bit more then as well. So how has the convention gone for you this year at your new location?
Well, new location, there's going to be some shakedown and adjustment required. The new location is a much nicer and much better and much more convenient location than our old location, which has caused a few minor hiccups, nothing significant, that we're learning from, and we'll hopefully make adjustments to our schedule next year now that we're at a hotel where people can actually leave for dinner and go someplace decent and get back quickly, which was not an option at our old hotel.
Yeah, unfortunately, this year it's at the Crown Plaza here in Addison, and yeah, you just have to go up to Beltline Road, and there's just a ton of choices for restaurants.
There's supposed to be something like 200 restaurants within 2 miles or 5 miles.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about FenCon itself. Where does that name come from, FenCon?
Well, as with many things, it's a working title that got stuck. When we were first talking, and by we, I mean me and Ed Ravecki, who you will be interviewing later.
Yes.
At one point in 99, I think, sat down and said, Dallas doesn't have a good fan-run lit convention. We should do one. And we came up with a plan, and we picked a weekend, and we had an idea and a theme and a whole business model, and we were going to move forward with this, but we had jobs and other stuff going on, so we weren't moving quite as forward as we should have been. And just as we're ready to get our butts in gear and start going, we noticed that CondFW, a new fan-run, literary-focused science fiction convention, was coming to Dallas on the exact weekend we thought was the perfect weekend, which is late February, because it was away from all the other regional conventions, and hotels were cheap in February in Texas, because there's not a lot of weddings to compete with. And we went to the first CondFW, and it was fun, and it's like, yeah, Dallas does need another fan-run literary convention, and the town's big enough, and we thought maybe we should work on this. Meanwhile, back at a science fiction club that Ed and I were both affiliated with, called ORAC, they were saying, that CondFW was sure a lot of fun, and we've been kind of thinking it'd be fun to do a convention on our own, and maybe we should actually think about that. And this came up at a meeting, and I was sitting there, and I raised my hand, and it's like, well, Ed and I have come up with this idea, and we've got this whole thing figured out. The only thing we don't have is a date, because we figured that CondFW's date was the perfect time to do it. And we all decided, well, you've got a lot of the prep work done. Let's get a committee and see if we want to do this. And we got a committee, and we talked about it, and we threw a party at the second CondFW, which was a completely exploratory, hey, we're a convention that we've got a silly little name, which we just picked up, which was FenCon, which is actually the start of the question, and I'll get back to that. A silly name called FenCon, and we don't have a date, and we don't have guests, and we don't really have a theme or an idea. Well, we've got an idea, but that's all we've got, is an idea. No hotel contract, no guests, no dates, but probably October. So we did this room party at CondFW2, and just a lark, I had this idea that we'd sell pre-supporting memberships and this goofy idea that for like $25 we would sell a Friend of the Fen membership, which if we did a convention, you'd get, you know, special recognition and we'd give you a t-shirt and we'd do all this other stuff. And like three people bought memberships that night with just, hey, we're guys with a cheese tray and an idea. And we had like three Friend of the Fen sold and a couple attending and several of the pre-supporting memberships. It's like, well, what the heck do we do now? So we threw a convention and we decided we'd take a year and a half to get the convention going rather than rush into it and do it in 6 months, because we didn't want to do it around ConDFW because ConDFW is a Dallas Con and we're a Dallas Con. So rather than rush into it in 6 months, we took 18 months. Where does the name come from? Is in the olden days in fandom, Fen was the term for a group of fan. Like men is the term for a group of men. So we were all Fen rather than fans. And because of the whole premise of FenCon, it is a fan-run convention by fans for fans. Nobody's in this to make money. It's well, we've set up a corporation now, but we didn't when we started. But the only reason we have a corporation is for legal protection and tax issues. And none of the members on the committee draw a salary from the corporation. It's all volunteer work.
Well, I've been very impressed with this convention. This is the second one I've attended, and it's only four. You're only 4 years old, but you obviously have had a lot more experience running other conventions because this is such a well-run convention.
We've had lots of people involved that have worked on other conventions in the past on different levels. I was one of the founders of a show in Dallas called Conniption in the early 90s, and I co-chaired Conniption 3, which was in 1993 is when that one happened. And then I also chaired a little Conniption 93 and a half, which is a one-day event. And at that point is when I had my, it was the fandom overload, step back from a while from active convention stuff. And I did the very foolish thing of getting into LARPing because it's not nearly as political as fandom is. And then after a few years of that, I was back in fandom. And then a few years later, I was running cons again.
Well, we appreciate you being a glutton for punishment. like I said, I've been impressed with all the material that you guys put out. And matter of fact, your second convention, you had a little run-in with, well, it wasn't directly affecting you. Was it Rita?
It was Hurricane Rita, and it wasn't directly affecting us, but it was very, extremely indirectly hitting us. Because FenCon 2 was the same weekend that Hurricane Rita was supposed to destroy Houston.
And everybody was coming to Dallas.
Everyone was coming to Dallas, and our hotel was completely booked because of everyone trying to get out of Houston, needing a hotel, and literally you could not get a hotel reservation in the state of Texas. A lot of our guests and attendees were in Houston who were supposed to make it up, but couldn't get out of town because of the huge, massive gridlock where they had US 45, all eight lanes or all nine lanes going northbound, and people running out of gas. And it was really a nightmare on, you know, we had so many people that couldn't make it. I know we lost a lot of walk-up because I talked to several people who said, I had every intention of going, but Hurricane Rita was going to hit Houston, and all of my friends and relatives that lived in Houston were able to get out, and they were staying at my house that weekend, and they couldn't leave.
I had heard you had, well, I guess you changed your charity for that year to help people.
We hadn't changed our charity for that year. We hadn't picked a charity at that point.
Okay.
And again, waiting to the last minute was beneficial for us. We hadn't picked a charity at that point. Then Katrina had hit New Orleans. All the images were on the news, and it was very powerful. And we decided we were going to do the Salvation Army Disaster Relief Fund just because they're a good charity that lots of the money, most of the money raised, goes directly to the causes. Their staff isn't paid as highly as some of the other charities like Red Cross, who had some political things working against, you know, there were some bad stories in the press. We wanted as safe a charity as we could. and it happened that Rita came at the same time, so there was a... It was good for the Red Cross that we... I sound arrogant saying it was good for the Red Cross. It worked out well for us. We were able to raise, I think, $2,500.
Wow.
In our first ever charity auction. We took the cover of our first two program books and did limited edition prints and all the money. And I mean all the money. We sell them for $10 each. Mm-hmm. We did 50 of each. And $1,000, we just wrote the check right away. FENCON is underwriting the printing costs of these charitable prints. So 100% of every dollar given for these charity prints, which we've done every year since then, goes to whatever charity we're doing that year.
And who's your charity this year?
Our charity this year is the North Texas Food Bank, which one of the things that I look for in a charity mm-hmm. is how well they actually interact locally, or not interact with real people.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Texas Food Bank, I believe 97 cents out of every dollar they collect goes directly to putting food on people's plates.
That's very impressive, because a lot of times it could be a lot lower than that.
And the Salvation Army is, again, a very high percentage of what they raise goes directly towards their end cause. Last year our charity was the American Diabetes Association, mm-hmm. and we did that in honor of Judith Ward, who was our fan guest of honor, who sadly died 3 months before FENCON.
And so you kept her as the fan guest of honor.
We did keep her as the fan guest of honor, yes.
Yeah. I had a great time last year. Got to see Alan Dean Foster as your guest of honor. And this year you had Connie Willis. So you've got some pretty good names coming through here. And I don't want to take up too much more of your time. You had Connie Willis, David Mattingly as your artist guest of honor. Who else did you have?
Steve Perry. The writer, not the musician. he was our Toastmaster.
Toastmaster.
He did a fabulous job. Tom Smith, the world's fastest filker, was our music guest of honor, and for longtime Conestoga fans, they may remember he was the music guest at Conestoga 1.
Huh, okay.
I was actually there.
Well, we appreciate you coming up and supporting Conestoga's convention, the Conestoga convention, which I work on. I have the other podcast, which is the Conestoga podcast, but I wanted to focus more on other conventions, other fans, other authors,
okay.
and not just tied to one convention, because I wanted to cover the region.
All right.
I can't say I'm going to go to every convention that's close by, but the ones I can get to, I'd like to come and talk and see, what the fans are doing, the artists, the filkers, just kind of get a taste. To give people who are not necessarily familiar with fandom a chance to discover it. Of course, I'm sure most of the people that are listening to this are probably already fans, but at least it gives them an idea of what goes on at a convention.
So I said Tom Smith, Connie Willis,
mm-hmm.
Steve Perry. Toni Weisskopf was a special guest, and she also ran a writer's workshop. Toni Weisskopf is the editor and an editor and the publisher for Bang Books. So very high profile person. If you wanted to get FaceTime with the editor and writer or publisher for Bane Books, it was a great opportunity. She was a fabulous guest too.
One thing I've focused on in talking to people in these podcasts is that a lot of times, the next generation of artists and authors come out of fandom, and of course you're helped fostering that by having the writers' workshops. And how have those been going?
They've been pretty successful. We have sold out every one. We limit the attendance.
Yeah, that's always good.
There's an additional fee, but it's good FaceTime with a known significant writer or editor
mm-hmm.
who will workshop a story or a short story, novel or short story, depending on who's running it. Toni Weisskopf was doing novels this year. Next year we have Jay Lake, who is best known as a short story editor, and he's done several anthologies. He'll be focusing on short stories, and as well as workshopping stories, we'll be working with people about how to get your short story in an anthology and what people putting together anthologies look for, so to know how to target your work and who to send it to.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up, but before I wrap this conversation up, since FENCON 4 is over with and you can't come, but you can come next year to FENCON 5, who do we have to look forward to for that?
All right, we have Greg Benford as our guest of honor. One of the best hard science fiction writers still going today. One-third of the Killer Bees. we have as our fan guest of honor a well-known great guy from the Oklahoma City area, Gerald Burton. Our special guest and writer's workshop instructor next year is Jay Lake, and our music guest is the Three Weird Sisters.
So we have a lot to look forward to.
We have a lot to look forward to. Plus, expect a whole lot more guests to be announced soon.
Well, excellent. Well, Tim, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy convention to talk with me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you very much.
FanCon is still a young convention, and I wish them the best of success and hope for many more. With Tim Miller and Ed Drewecki and the entire crew of FanCon, I think they are in good hands. Well, that's it for now. I've got some editing to do to get out the next episode, and so I return you to your regularly scheduled cubicle. Because science fiction isn't just about escape, it's about seeing the world differently.